Mark chapter 14. In verse 22. And as they did eat, again, Passover meal, Jesus took bread and blessed it and brake it and gave to them and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank of it. And he said unto them, "This is my blood of the new testament, or the new covenant, which is shed for many. Verily I say unto you, I will drink no more of the fruit of the vine until the day that I drink it new in the kingdom of God." Luke 22. Luke 22 and verse 19. I think everyone knows this. When you read the Gospel of John, you'll quickly realize that some things are left out in John. And I think most people think because John wrote by far later than everybody else, and he kind of assumed that everybody else had seen Matthew, Mark, and Luke. So, you know, he didn't need to say the same things again. So he adds, but he doesn't talk directly about the Lord's Supper in the same way that the three synoptics do. 22 verse 19. And he took bread and gave thanks and brake it and gave unto them, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." Likewise also the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new testament in my blood, which is shed for you." We focus not only on thanksgiving here, but we're also now focusing on remembrance. All right, 1 Corinthians 11. 1 Corinthians 11. I actually believe, not believe, obviously this is the longest of all of the collections of what Jesus did in the Lord's Supper. All right, verse 23. Paul says, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you." Obviously, if you started a church, you'd have to teach people the Lord's Supper. You know, it wouldn't be something they'd guess about. "That the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me.'" So you have some of the purposes right here. Giving thanks, the concept of remembering. Memorial is always very big in the biblical world. "After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, 'This cup is the new testament in my blood. This do you as often as you drink it in remembrance of me.' For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come." Those are the main texts that deal with the Lord's Supper. What we're going to do today, what I'm going to ask is almost impossible to do. I've said it many times. I know everybody in this room has a perfect memory, and you're the only person that remembers things exactly the way they happened. Well, good luck on that one. What you really find out is you remember the stories you tell yourself, which may or may not be true, but there's one thing that will always be true. The good guy in every story will always be the person in your shoes. Then all of a sudden you bump into reality and realize not only have I misremembered things, it has nothing to do with reality. But I'm going to ask you a couple questions. How often should we partake of the Lord's Supper? And in the churches you have been in, how often did, this is the hard problem, trying to remember before me, how often did you do this and why? And those are the questions we're going to talk about today, I hope, mainly because my buddy Louie wants to know why we do it once a month. All right, let's pray. Father, thank you for this Lord's Day. May this be a profitable time as we consider truth from the Word of God. Thank you that we have the privilege of being here. Bless our time together in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. We are on, more or less, if you go to the third page of your notes, we're dealing with purposes of the Lord's Supper. So I'm going to quickly summarize the purposes, why we partake of the Lord's Supper. All right. The The first reason is communion. And from communion, we spent almost one entire Sunday talking about the presence of Christ. Talking about how Catholics believe in the physical presence of Christ in the elements by means of transubstantiation. Okay? Lutherans believe something similar called consubstantiation. Reformed, at least those who follow Calvin directly, believe in the spiritual presence of Christ in the elements. And as my Reformed friends at Covenant Seminary told all of us Baptists, you Baptists believe in the real absence of Christ. The only place Christ is not present is in the Lord's Supper. Well, I hope some of you have an idea. Because we have communion, when we gather together in His name as the church for special purposes, He's not only present in us as individuals, but He's present where, Rhonda? I know you know. Yes, He's not absent. He's present in His people. And not just the way that He follows you around every day or you have Him in His back pocket. It is unique when we gather together, according to Scripture. For not where one person is, but where two or three people to gather together in My name, there I am in the... Yes, you know the verse? All right. And other verses. So one of the primary purposes is communion with the Lord, one another. He's specially present when we partake of the Lord's Supper. Second purpose, and I've given words, but I'm not going to use all these words, is contemplation. And maybe just simply self-examination. And I said last week, I believe this is important, but I believe it is not the primary purposes of the Lord's Supper. I have changed a little bit on this. I think there are three primary purposes that are found more or less in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and 1 Corinthians. This one is only found when? Somebody raise your hand. Do not blabble. Raise your hand and tell me when this is important. Yes, when you have problems with other Christians. So, let's stop. Who is the you we're talking about? No, you. See, the problem is you is always someone else. That's the reason nothing ever applies to us. So if you have problems with someone else, self-examination is in your lap. Now, we also discussed a long time the difference between being unworthy, which how many people in this room are unworthy? 100% apart from? Yes, and no amount of confession, good Catholic Baptist, will ever make you worthy. We're not Catholics. We don't believe we confess to the place and then we're worthy to partake of the Lord's Supper. Hello? We're worthy because of Christ, but it doesn't talk about being unworthy. It talks about partaking of it unworthily, meaning we had the communion last Sunday. I know for sure there are two people that have gossiped to me about me to their children. And it leaked out of their children. Uh-oh. But they partook of the Lord's Supper. That's dangerous business. So if you start seeing problems and you say, where'd that problem come from? Well, I think there's a guy named Paul that said, for this cause many are sick among you and weak and some of you. Now you say, that didn't really work today. Yeah, it does. So the next time you partake of the Lord's Supper, do not start ransacking your mind for all of your sins because you have too many sins to confess. You can never confess your way into heaven. Christ saves you. But if you've got problems with people, because see, that's dealing with the body, then you got a problem. All right, yes or no? It's kind of what the text teaches. Now, do I think those people are going to continue to partake of the Lord's Supper? Absolutely. Because I told Frenchie this morning, I'll say it again because he's here. There are some people that have a sensitivity to God and there's a whole bunch of people that don't. They just do what they do. Well, we're going to go to the third and the fourth, if you would. Next page, please. The next one, I use this word. Commemoration, but if you prefer, just a memorial. That works too. This was written back in the days when I was very impressed with C's. I'm not as impressed anymore. There's a concept of self-examination. There's a concept of actually remembering. And of course, all of these really connect. Here, do you all recognize how closely these things connect to each other? So if you're remembering what Jesus did, look at me in the eyes, to make you worthy, what is the next thought in your mind? Thanksgiving, yes. But if you're thinking about what's for lunch, or I wish Pastor had gotten over earlier, see, we got a problem, Houston. But these things all hang together. Communion, and so commemoration or memorial, all the texts talk about in remembrance, in remembrance, in remembrance. The last one, I'll put down this word, which is a better word, thanksgiving, or giving thanks, or I don't like this word, and I would never use it again, but celebration. Because everything in America today is a party. Somebody dies, and we celebrate them. Now, I've had some people, when they died, maybe we were happy they were gone. But I'm not, you know, we celebrate way too, you do realize we celebrate too much in America. Everything's got to be a party. It's not that kind of a thing. It's a time of giving thanks. But think about this. If you go into the Lord's Supper next month and you start thinking about what, look at me. Hey, start thinking about what Jesus did for your wicked soul that he knows. See, you can hide from me. You can hide from others. You can hide from yourself. You can't hide from him. Do you know that? And he saved you? Immediately you're going to be doing this. And this, communion, meaning giving thanks to Christ and to the Father. These three hook together, and then this one is all of a sudden, you know that person that didn't greet you 3 weeks ago and tell you how pretty your dress was? Your little ego goes back into the closet and you realize something. Maybe I need to examine myself and quit holding grudges about stupid things. I will say this. I've taught more on forgiveness than any other subject in this church, probably. This is what I have learned. 99% of what people hold on to is not worth holding on to. Is that not sad? I pick on certain people. Have you ever figured that out? Now, this is the honest truth. There'd be two reasons I wouldn't pick on you normally. Number one, I don't know you well. And number two, you don't know for sure that I like you. So will I pick on Pon Duck 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 every day? Why? Because she knows I love her. Will I pick on Nancy? She's not here this morning as regular as I can because she's going to be picking on me. Why would I be careful with this? Because some people are very sensitive. I'm always going to talk about Linda and Nancy's hair. It's all normal today, sister. I'm not so sure if we can handle that. You know, I want to see how high you can get that thing going. Could you imagine me saying that to some people who are... But see, I have a real problem with humor. Yesterday, my grandson, we had both of them here. I didn't do anything. Jenny and Amy did. Both the grandsons were here, and Nathan is just getting to the stage. He's just getting to the stage where he can reach up. Stand up, Tim. Tim has the same affliction I have. He can just reach up and say, big belly, big belly.
Amen.
Amen. You say, does that hurt my feelings? What am I going to say? Little belly? Oh, good grief. Yeah, that's the question. Who taught him that? I think I know who taught him that. That's the worst part. All right, let's look in your notes real quick, please. And then we're going to go to the questions that I actually asked you, because you're going to have to write a bunch of stuff down because it's not in the notes. That'd be the whole point. The elements, of course, where do we get the unleavened bread from? Yeah, it's coming from the Passover meal. What about you Baptists and drinking grape juice? So let's take a breath. The first century church didn't drink grape juice. Grape juice was actually invented for communion by a guy whose name you know, Welch. It was invented for communion. Did you not know that? It goes through a pasteurization process which makes it impossible to ferment. Do you know that? It's done on purpose, so it's impossible to ferment. But I can show you and have showed you in other places, in other notes, first century, you'll find the pastors, they'll bring out the bread, wine, and the water. You say, what did they do? They diluted it. So you didn't have to worry about it being alcohol. Well, it might have a little alcohol in it, but not any amount that you could ever have any kind of impact. By the way, if you want to drink alcohol, you want to go buy a bottle of wine that's 12% alcohol, and you dilute it 8 to 1, 8 parts water, 1 to 1 wine. Go ahead. Stupid, but you can do it. See, I'm not afraid of wine, but you have to drink it like they did in the first century. Hello? You guys remember this? This is free. You don't mind me giving you something free, do you? Turn your Bibles to Proverbs 9. I'll demonstrate this again at a later time. This is the most interesting thing, and I had never caught it until this week. Part of it is I've never read the Old Testament in Greek totally. I know some of you have, but I haven't. The Greek is called what, folks? It's called the LXX, a Septuagint. Though that's a misnomer because it wasn't translated at one time. Everybody find Proverbs 9, verse 2. Frenchie, in your nice, sweet voice. Now, I'm not going to go anyplace with this because we don't have time, but you know that passage when it's translated from Hebrew into Greek, which we have moved from the Jewish world to the Greco-Roman world? It translates this beautiful Greek word this, which some of you remember I talked about Greek craters. So when it's talking about mingling or, look at me, mixing your wine, it's what everybody in the ancient world did. They had a beautiful container. Look it up on Google. Don't look at me stupid. Google Greek craters. That word. That's the exact Greek word. It says you took your wine, put it in your crater, put your water in, mixed it up. That's what everybody did, folks. So do we use wine? No, we use grape juice. Could we use wine? The answer is yes, we could. But we would dilute it 1 to 10 so you'd never have to worry about it. Why would we do that? We have perfectly good grape juice. Thank you. And by the way, a guy that has a problem with alcohol, you don't need to come to church and drink it. Hello? Ever. And I know there's Bible believers that do, but they don't dilute it. I don't understand why not. All right. Let's go to the next question. It's on the board. We'll start with how often. For you that have been around church longer than 15 minutes, I'm going to start with Charlena and her very handsome husband, Jake. Jake, what did you grow up doing? Do you remember? How often did you guys partake of the Lord's Supper? Monthly, okay? So on a continuum. Now, you remember I told you about how difficult it is to remember the past. Monthly. Okay. Charlena. Quarterly. In other places? Don't remember. Yeah, I do have to remember that your life doesn't go back that far. You're 20 what? 24. Duncan, you are really getting bad, Duncan. That's what I'm afraid of. Okay, let's see, who else has been in church? Stacy. It's actually hard to remember, isn't it? Why is it hard to remember? Basic principle of the memory. The way we are is the way we were. It's the way your memory works. If you think your memory works different, you're kidding yourself. That's the reason if somebody ever gets mad at a church, they were in a church for 10 years, it was the best place they'd ever been, and then they got mad and left, and they can never think of a single thing that was good about that church, and it's like, well, why did you come here? Because the way we are is the way we were. All right, who else? Joel, what have you grown up around? So once a year you partook of the Lord's Supper. Did they ever explain why they did that once a year? That's fair. Mr. Hall, I'm asking you the hard question. Do you remember what Pastor Hill did? I was racking my brain to try to remember what Pastor Hill did. See, my memory of Pastor Hill was hit or miss. You remember partaking of it, but you don't remember. All right, Judah Luna. Ah, so you're in between. You're like, yeah, I'll use semi, because Rhonda told me to. So you did it semi-annually. Was it on certain days? Yes. And if you can remember, and it's hard to remember because you start blending all your memories together. When you say it was a big day, was there a lot of emphasis on confession and that sort of thing? So they did the celebrating. Okay. That's fair. Atong, what have you experienced? Monthly. Jenny Lynn? Really? Special days. Okay. Jim and Arfon, what do you remember? What did Don Tice do? I don't know. Okay, quarterly. I think that's a pretty good one, hit and miss. I mean, I think a lot of people have done that. All right, I'm looking around. Mrs. Warren, what did you grow up with? Okay, daughter, nice daughter. Wow, what kind of a church was that? What kind of a church was that? Jim? All right. Wow. Tim? In the Baptist churches you've been in. So you've kind of grown up around a lot of hit and miss. And where do you put hit and miss on the continuum? Well, but as long as the pastor remembers to do it quarterly, then it becomes hit and miss. Tommy, what about you? So it was monthly at CCC. What about it at Maranatha or whatever it was? Do you remember? Oh, that's even in between. So you have... Bye. Mike's always nice. All right, Debbie. Yes. Did you ever have any epiphanies along the way? So you had it every week, or?
No, it wasn't every week, but it varied according to the church season. Yeah.
Okay. Linda, Cameroon. Is that what Mom thinks, monthly? All right, who else might know? Stevie, you have any thoughts? What? Yes. Well, it wasn't a church. That's the reason you didn't have communion. Sorry, Pensacola Christian Church, non. Bob Jones wasn't a church either, and neither one should call themselves that. Though I know Pensacola calls themselves that. What kind of church is it that doesn't have communion? So, Louis, what do you think about this, Louis? Or I asked Gail or Ron, what do you guys have been growing up around? Can't remember. So at the end of the service, French, you'd be back drinking the wine. Okay. Oh, that's bad. Anyone else? Walter, what have you experienced, friend? All right, so let's ask the question. By the way, I'm not just wasting time up here. Let's ask the harder question. So we now kind of know what people do. What would be, please raise your hand. Don't all blabble at the same time. What would be the worst possible form of the Lord's Supper, Mike? I would say hit and miss. Because what that basically equals is what? Whatever the pastor wants to do. And whatever, you know, it's kind of like a second thought, get around to it sometime. Annually is weird to me. All right? But I'm going to ask you questions because, see, you guys still aren't getting that. Does the Bible tell us how often we have to partake of it? So then how would you govern this in a church, Walter? So we just do it once a year during Passover season. Okay, yes, ma'am. Mardi Gras. Frenchie was out drinking and you were having communion. Frenchie, you're just getting it today. I don't know why.
I guess I'm well
done. Well, Lois is. And Rhonda. Go ahead. It was part of the Passover meal. Actually, the early church is hard to know what those mean. That's part of the problem. Were they just having a meal? Was it good old Baptist fellowship, or were they having the Lord's Supper? Jake, go ahead. And I think simply stated, that's a good, you kind of want to, in a church, try to find a balance. The hit and miss, for me, is out. That is not an option. Hit and miss basically becomes the whim of the pastor, and I'm not sure a church should be organized around anybody's whims, including the pastor. So for me, that's a deal breaker. Annually, Walter's right, but Seems like in the New Testament they did it more than that. I know what you're saying. Annually seems to be what? But what kind of reasoning? Louis, what do you think? Why should we do it more often or once a year enough? Confess all your sins.
As a whole.
But for you, that would take several weeks, so you really wouldn't have time. I will say this, friend. I believe memorial is the root of all this, because if I don't think we take the time to remember what Christ did, the Thanksgiving kind of becomes natural. Look at me. You ever think about your mother or your father or people that were important in your life? The moment you, unless you had criminals for parents, the moment you think about them, what's the next thought? Thanksgiving. It's just a natural. So memorial, that's the reason the Bible hammers on that memory part, because, you know, once you start remembering, what has the Lord done for you? Anything? Yeah. Then you give thanks. The communion, of course, is a big one. I have huge problems with this one. I have huge problems with that one. The worst one, or second worst. Now, somebody tell me why. Go ahead, Mike. It either becomes commonplace or, say it again, Walter.
Central.
Yeah, it almost starts, yeah, Jim, do you want to?
Well, one of the reasons they...
Yeah, or consubstantiation. Yes, folks, any church that does this every week, you start running into the problem, you have to ask the question, why are they doing it? Lois, were you ever a Catholic? Lutheran? Did they do communion every week? You do it with the seasons. Frenchie, you were a good Catholic. Well, you were not a good Catholic, but you were a Catholic. They did it every service, every back service. Frenchie, why was that? Don't, from their theology, why? Yes, Ade. It's your salvation. Walter. Yeah, I mean, this is how you get saved in this. You know, this is part of your salvation, so they do it every time you get together. I think, going back to Jake, this is too often for just us, because you start losing. It's hard. It's hard to be in the moment. But worse than that is this starts taking, look at me. The basic purposes of the Lord's Supper are memorial, thanksgiving, and communion, the three big ones. Self-examination is important, but I think it's lower. I think it is important, but it can be misused. Having said that, if you're doing this every week, it'd be very quickly this takes on meaning that it doesn't have. Linda, did you have a thought about that, or... Well, but sister, now, this is what I have learned, and I think my buddy Louis has said this. I find churches in Baptist circles in the Philippines do it once a year, annually, and they do it for a very specific reason. So you literally can confess all your sins. And what I have realized is a lot of the pastors are very weak on soteriology. They don't get that you're truly saved by grace. They kind of, you get saved by grace, but you kind of keep it by continually confessing and get... What are the three sermons of every Armenian? Dada? Yeah, that's what he learned at Central Seminary. No, he didn't. But what's the problem with that is, but by the way, that middle, and by the way, if you you haven't been in this church, you don't hear this stuff. Now, some of you wouldn't know the difference between Don Tice and me. That's the sad part. Those were his three sermons. He only had three sermons. Hello? Didn't make any difference what he was preaching from. He got back to those three sermons. You need to get busy. And if you're not busy, you need to get right. And if you're not right, you need to get saved. And three sermons, thank you very much. I've actually listened. Hello? I grew up around that nonsense. It's not Christian, but a lot of people preach it. So it's almost like they get salvation, Louis, about how you get saved by grace. But once you get saved by grace, sounds like the Judaizers. They bring you right back under the bondage again, where you're confessing all of your sins, and it's like this big thing, and to get yourself right with God. And it's like, folks, I remember in chapel at Hiles Anderson College, it's on tape, I want it to be, hearing one more of those stupid sermons about getting right, and it dawned on me, I'd actually been reading the Bible and D. Martin Lloyd Jones, and I realized if Jesus doesn't make me right with the Father, nothing I can do can make me right with the Father. Oh, my goodness, that's a life changer. Did you hear what I said? That's a life changer. That doesn't mean we're not supposed to obey God, but that stuff is gone. And what else is gone is trying to confess your way into God's good graces. I believe in confessing sin, but I don't think many people do. I think this here is also a great guilt fest. Church is trying to run your life by guilt. Hello? Yes. Real sweet. You know, Frenchie wasn't going to believe that I could spend another week. I have another week's worth of material. I'm going to just tell you this. Pastor Warren could not pastor a church that did it weekly. I would not. Nor would I pastor a church that did it yearly. I would not. Because I think both of those philosophically lead in bad places. And how do I get to this place? Look at me. What are the purposes of the Lord's Supper? To remember, to give thanks, and have communion with God and one another. I want those to happen more than once a year. Now, if the purpose of the Lord's Supper is just self-examination, do it once a year. And have a big get right with God service. But I don't think that's the primary purpose, do you? So you say, where are you comfortable? I'm actually comfortable here. I never heard of bi-monthly. That was a new one on me. Somebody said it here. But I could do monthly or quarterly. Both of those are pretty good with me. I like it. Now we got to go. We got 4 minutes to go to the hard question. Look at the who. Who can partake of the Lord's Supper? Anybody? Everybody? All right. And that's all that's necessary. This is for Joel Randall. He comes from Kentucky, where a lot of crazy comes out of. Yes, I do on purpose. Thank you, Jim. That's very observant. In the history of Baptists, and I'm going to do this quickly. Listen to me carefully. In the history of Baptists from the 1600s to 1850, everybody got 1850, which was a guy named J.R. Graves blew up the First Baptist Church of Nashville, caused us problems, and it's just perforated all. In the independent Baptist movement in the Philippines is 100%. It's called landmarkism. Before this period of time, there were basically two views. Open, meaning it was open to all believers, or closed, which meant it was open to believers in our church and members of like faith and practice. But in 1850, this got changed. So you're normally now going to hear this, because then they went over here. And they hate anybody. We are total liberals because we would allow somebody from another church to partake of our communion because they're not a member of this church. They even, one of these pinheads in the Philippines told me that Paul only took Lord's Supper in Antioch. And I said, he started churches and he taught them the Lord's Supper. And he says the bread that we and the cup that we. And he was like, so most Baptists believe that you need to be, is though Frank, the old man. I was using three different words at the same time. That you need to be saved and baptized. That is what I believe. Because that's the order in the New Testament. Now, take a breath. I'm going in a hurry. Don't have a lot of time. This view has two views. It's open to all believers. And you say, is this a big deal? You ever heard of John Bunyan? This was John Bunyan. You can get it online. John, you couldn't read it. You'd get so lost in his thinking. He believed that the Lord's Supper was open to all believers, including the non-baptized. William Kiffin, the founder of what we are, particular Baptist background, he believes saved and baptized. There is another group that believes this is open to all. Now, I disagree with that, but here's what they say. So I'm just introducing you to this. They say we use the Lord's Supper as a means of evangelism. We explain what it means. We explain what Jesus did. We use it as a means of evangelism. I can't go there. I can't really go here. But then there's another thing. This comes directly from the mouth of Emily and her sister. This is a good Presbyterian phrase. Fencing the table. You say, what's that mean? Who does the pastor allow to partake of the Lord's Supper? Many churches, this is how they fence the table. They have the Lord's Supper at night or at weird times. So they keep out everybody else. Hello? Okay, but that's how they do it. We do it on Sunday morning. By the way, I think this church used to do it on Sunday night mostly. I know when I came here, I said Sunday morning once a month. Fencing the table. Do we fence the table here? Yes, I will generally say something. You need to be saved. You need to be baptized and a member of either this church or a member of like faith and practice. However, I don't have the deacons, even though some of them are well-armed. Go around and say, are you a member of this church? We allow, what do we allow, Tim? We've talked about this. What do we allow? A person to do what? The person makes their own decisions. I'm not going up and pulling anything out of anybody's mouth. You say, what if they're not saved? Look at me. What if they're not saved? Yes, ma'am. I'm surprised they did. Well, especially Jim. I don't know about you. By the way, is everybody with me? Now, let me say this. Where does this come from? Do you understand? I'm sorry, we're a little late. Do you know where this comes from? The primary purpose of the Lord's Supper is self-examination. If that's the primary purpose, then it makes sense. It's for just your local church. If that is a secondary purpose, which it's only found once, it's secondary, then the other purpose is I'm good with people. Now you say, what if somebody partakes of the Lord's Supper who hasn't been baptized by immersion? I'm assuming God can sort that out. Yes, ma'am. I'll let you figure that out. Let's stand and pray. We'd have to go into the whole Jewish world of time. Thank you, folks. I hope it was helpful. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for the privilege of being here. May this be a profitable morning. In Christ's name, amen. So, Louie.